We present Watteau Jeeves by P.G. Wodehouse. Starring Michael Horton as Jeeves and Richard Briers as Bertie Wooster.
Episode 21,
The Metropolitan Touch.
One evening in November, about a month after I'd got back from my visit to Twing Hall, I was sitting in the old flat, gazing into a log fire and thinking of nothing in particular except possibly giving young Bingo Little a ring, but then possibly not, when Jeeves shimmied in with a telegram.
Good evening, sir. A telegraphic communication has just arrived.
Oh, thank you, Jeeves. I say, it's from Bingo Little. He's down at Twing again. What the deuce is he doing there, do you think, Jeeves?
Mr. Little has been compelled to resume his old position as tutor to Lord Wick Hammersley's son, I believe, sir, owing to having been unsuccessful in some speculations at Hurst Park at the end of October.
Good Lord, Jeeves, is there anything you don't know?
I could not say, sir.
Well, better read the bally thing, I suppose. Oh, my golly.
Sir?
Oh, Lord, I say, Jeeves, listen to this. I know young Bingo's got about as much reticence as a soap advertisement, but even by his standards, this is pretty hot. I say, Bertie, old man, I am in love at last. Stop. She is the most wonderful girl, Bertie, old man, stop. This is the real thing at last, Bertie, stop. Come here at once and bring Jeeves, stop. Oh, I say, you know that tobacco shop in Bond Street on the left side as you go up, stop. Will you get me 100 of their special cigarettes and send them to me here, stop? I have run out, stop. I know when you see her, you will think she is the most wonderful girl, stop. Mind you, bring Jeeves, stop. Don't forget the cigarettes, stop. Bingo.
Yes, sir.
Credit it, Jeeves. He submitted this frightful rot to the goggling eyes of the village postmistress, who's probably the mainspring of all the local gossip.
It is more than likely, sir.
I don't know why he didn't hire the town crier while he was about it.
No, sir.
Well, of course, it's about due. Young Bingo hasn't been in love for at least a couple of months. Well, I wonder who it is this time.
Miss Mary Burgess, sir, the niece of the Reverend Mr. Heppenstall. She is staying at Twing Vicarage.
Great Scott! Is this second sight or something, Jeeves?
No, sir. I am on terms of some intimacy with Brookfield, Mr. Heppenstall's butler, and he is good enough to keep me abreast of the local news from time to time. From his account, sir, the young lady appears to be a very estimable young lady, of a somewhat serious nature, I understand. Mr. Little is very épris, sir.
I suppose he wants us to go down and help him out a bit.
That would appear to be his motive in dispatching the message, sir.
Well, what should we do? Go?
I would advocate it, sir. If I may say so, I think that Mr. Little should be encouraged in this particular matter. The young lady is very highly spoken of, sir.
All right, O. Jeeves, you know. Well, you better book a couple of tickets on the 12:10 tomorrow and wire the old fathead to meet us at the station.
I will attend to the matter immediately, sir. Good night, sir.
Good night, Jeeves.
Bertie!
Oh, there he is, Jeeves. What-ho, Bingo!
I say, Bertie. Oh, good to see you, old man. Hello, Jeeves.
Good afternoon, sir.
I say, Bertie, would you mind, would you mind, walking back to the hall? Walking?
Haven't you bought the car?
Oh, yes. Jeeves can go in that with the luggage. But, I'd quite like to, Well, hoof it, Bertie, don't you know? Bit of a blow and whatnot.
All right, old scout. I dare say the limbs could do with a stretch. Is that all right with you, Jeeves?
Most certainly, sir.
Well, we meet at Philippi, then, or whatever the place is.
Precisely.
Cheerio, then. Come on, Bingo, don't hang around. I'm freezing.
No, right here. Bertie.
Hello.
Have I told you about, a girl called, Mary Burgess, if you must know.
You did mention her, yes, Bingo, yes.
She's very wonderful, Bertie. She's not one of your flippant, shallow-minded modern girls. She's sweetly grave and beautifully earnest. She reminds me of, what's the name I want,
Marie Lloyd?
No, St. Cecilia, you loathsome blister. She reminds me of St. Cecilia. She makes me yearn to be a better, nobler, deeper, broader man.
You know, what beats me, Bingo, is the principle you pick them on, the girls you fall in love with, I mean to say, what's your system? As far as I can see, no two of them are alike. First it was Mabel, the waitress, then Honoria Glossop, then that fearful blister Charlotte Corday Rowbottom.
Oh, no, Bertie, please.
Yes, the thought of Charlotte always makes me shudder too, I admit.
Oh, you don't seriously mean, Bertie, that you're intending to compare the feeling I have for Mary Burgess, the holy devotion, the spiritual fervour, the...
All right, look, let it go, Bingo. I say, Olette, aren't we going rather a long way round?
Round what?
Well, I said, aren't we going rather a long way round? We're supposed to be heading for Twing Hall, not Little Clifton in the World. We've gone miles out of our way already.
No, look, she sometimes takes her little brother for a walk round this way, Bertie, and I thought we'd meet her and bow, and you could see her, you know, and then we'd walk on.
Of course. That's enough excitement for anyone, isn't it? Undoubtedly a corking reward for tramping 3 miles out of one's way over ploughed fields with tight boots. But, I mean, don't we do anything else, don't we? Tack onto the girl and buzz along with her?
Good Lord, no. Do you think I've got enough nerve for that, do you? I just look at her from afar off, all that sort of thing. Quick, Bertie! Here she is! No, I'm wrong.
This is her. No, it's a rabbit. What?
What?
The song of Harry Lauder. Rather similar situation, Bingo. Chappie waiting for his best girl, you know.
Bertie, please. Ah, here she is.
No, that's her there. 10 minutes. 10 minutes he kept me waiting there, Jeeves. 10 bally minutes in the teeth of a northeast half gale. Good. How's that bath coming along?
It is progressing satisfactorily, sir.
Oh, good. 10 minutes. And for what? Nothing. The merest glimpse, Jeeves. I was just about to cheese it, I can tell you, when suddenly a fox terrier came round the corner and set old Bingo quivering like an aspen. Then a small boy hove in sight and he shook like a jelly. Bingo, I mean, not the boy. And finally the girl appeared, Jeeves. And you should have seen the blighter. His face got so red that with his white collar and his blue nose, he looked more like the French flag than anything else, and he sagged from the waist upward as if he'd been filleted.
I gather that Mr. Little's affection is not unmingled with awe, sir.
He's lost his pep, Jeeves. He's got no dash. He didn't even have the common manly courage to say good evening.
You must remember, sir, that Mr. Little was in the grip of a powerful emotion.
I'll say. Not as powerful as when he saw that girl, when he saw that she wasn't alone, by Jove. There was a sort of clerical chappie in attendance. And young Bingo was so distraught, he could hardly get his fingers to his cap.
Yes, that would be the Reverend Mr. Wingham, Mr. Heppenstall's new curate.
Oh, of course. You know about him already.
Yes, sir. I gather from Mr. Brookfield that he is Mr. Little's rival, sir, and that at the moment the young lady appears to favour him. Mr. Wingham has the advantage of being on the premises, and he and the young lady played duets on the pianoforte, which acts as a bond. Mr. Little, on these occasions, I understand, sir, prowls about in the road, chafing visibly.
Yeah, but how are we going to help the blighter, Jeeves, when he's turned into such a complete rabbit? I should be seeing him at dinner. He's sure to ask first thing what you advise.
In my opinion, sir, the judicious course for Mr. Little to pursue would be to concentrate on the young gentleman.
Well, the small brother, how do you mean?
Make a friend of him, sir. Take him for walks and so forth.
Well, it doesn't sound one of your red-hottest ideas, Jeeves.
It would be a beginning, sir, and might lead to better things. Your bath is ready, sir.
Oh, thank you, Jeeves. Well, I'll tell him anyway and see what he thinks.
Very good, sir.
Righto, Jeeves. Jeeves is always right. By the time we left Twing 10 days later, it had become a mere commonplace for young Bingo to speak to the girl without doing an impression of an overripe tomato. The pipsqueak brother was forming a bond, a dash sight stronger than the ballet curate's duets, and it all seemed highly promising to me. Which made it that much more of a jar, don't you know, when a fortnight after we'd got back to town, another telegram arrived. Read it to me, Jeeves.
Very good, sir. Bertie, old man, I say, Bertie, could you possibly come down here at once? Stop. Everything has gone wrong. Hang it all. Stop. Dash it, Bertie, you simply must come. Stop. I am in a state of absolute despair and heartbroken. Stop. Would you mind sending another 100 of those cigarettes? Stop. Bring Jeeves when you come, Bertie. Stop. You simply must come, Bertie. Stop. I rely on you. Stop. Don't forget to bring Jeeves. Stop. Bingo. Sir?
You know, for a chap who's perpetually hard up, Jeeves, young Bingo is the most wasteful telegraphist I ever struck.
Yes, sir.
Besides which, I'm getting a bit fed up with all this. A large part of my existence seems to be spent in fussing over the blighter like a bally old hen and hauling him out of the soup. I can't go chucking all my engagements every second week in order to biff down to Twing and rally round young Bingo. Send him a wire telling him to end it all in the village pond.
If you could spare me for the night, sir, I should be glad to run down and investigate.
Oh, dash it, Jeeves. Well, I mean, dash it. Oh, well, I suppose there's nothing else to be done. After all, you're the fellow he wants. All right, carry on. I've got to be near Paddington tomorrow evening. I'll collect you off the 5:45.
That is most kind of you, sir. Thank you very much.
Right-o, Jeeves. Not at all, don't you know? Not at all. Not at all. Jeeves!
Ah, good evening, sir.
Hop in, Jeeves. Oh, well, Jeeves. How do you get on?
I've done what I could, sir, but I fear Mr. Little's chances do not appear bright. Since our last visit, sir, there has been a decidedly sinister and disquieting development.
Oh, what's that?
You may remember Mr. Steggles, sir, who devised the Great Sermon Handicap during the summer.
Steggles, yes. What's Steggles got to do with it?
I gather from Brookfield, sir, who chanced to overhear a conversation, that Mr. Steggles is interesting himself in the affair.
Good Lord. Making a book on it?
I understand that he is accepting wages from those in his immediate circle, sir. Against Mr. Little, whose chances he does not seem to fancy.
I don't like that at all, Jeeves. From what I know of Steggles, there'll be dirty work.
It has already occurred, sir.
What? No. Blister! Already, Jeeves?
Yes, sir. At the church bazaar.
Ye gods! What happened?
It seems, sir, that while Mr. Little was escorting Master Burgess to that function, they chanced to meet Mr. Steggles in the company of young Master Heppenstall, who is home from Rugby just now, having recently recovered from an attack of mumps. The encounter took place in the refreshment room, and, to cut a long story short, sir, the two gentlemen became extremely interested in the hearty manner in which the lads began to fortify themselves, and Mr. Steggles offered to back his nominee in a weight-for-age eating contest against Master Burgess for a pound a side. Mr. Little admitted to me that he was conscious of a certain hesitation on what the upshot of the matter might be should Miss Burgess come to hear of it, but...
Don't tell me, Jeeves, I can guess. His sporting blood was too ballymush for him, the fathead.
Exactly, sir. And though Master Burgess justified Mr. Little's confidence by winning the contest, the next day both competitors were in considerable pain. Inquiries were made and confessions extorted, sir. And Mr. Little, I learned from Brookfield, who happened to be near the drawing-room door at the moment, had an extremely unpleasant interview with the young lady, which ended in her desiring him never to speak to her again.
Jeeves, there's no getting away from the fact that if ever a man required watching, it's Steggles.
Undoubtedly, sir.
Machiavelli could have taken his correspondence course.
Had Mr. Steggles been alive at that time, most certainly, sir.
Well, he seems to have dished poor old Bingo, all right.
That is the prevalent opinion, sir. Brookfield tells me that down in the village at the Cow and Horses, 7-1 is being freely offered on Mr. Wingham, and finding no takers.
Good Lord, are they betting on it down in the village, too?
Yes, sir. And in adjoining hamlets also.
Oh, really? Well, I don't see what there is to do, frankly, Jeeves. I mean, Bingo is such a chump.
One is fighting a losing battle, I fear, sir. But I did venture to indicate to Mr. Little a course of action which might prove of advantage. Since the young lady is of such a serious disposition, sir, I recommended Mr. Little to busy himself with good works.
Good works?
About the village, sir. Reading to the bedridden, chatting with the sick, that sort of thing, sir. We can but trust that good results will ensue.
Yes, I suppose so. But by gosh, if I were a sick man, Jeeves, I'd hate to have a loony like young Bingo gibbering at my bedside.
There is that aspect of the matter, sir.
Ah! I didn't hear a word from Bingo for a couple of weeks after that, and I took it eventually that he had found the going too hard and had chucked in the towel. And then, one night, not long before Christmas, I came back to the flat after dinner and... Well, we Woosters are all for the good old medieval hosp and all that, but when it comes to finding chappies behaving like pub pianists in your own sitting room, the thing becomes a trifle too mouldy.
Oh, won't you something, something oranges, my something oranges, my something oranges. Oh, won't you something, something, something I forget. Something, 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 tumpty, tumpty, yet. Oh!
Bingo!
Oh, hello, Bertie.
What the deuce are you doing here?
Oh, I came up to town for the night on business.
Business? You?
Absolutely. Sit down and I'll tell you all about it.
No, thank you, I'm going to bed.
Bertie, old man, one minute. I see daylight.
The time, little, is 11:23, Pip Emma.
I was speaking figuratively, you ass. I meant that hope's begun to dawn about Mary Burgess, you know. Sit down.
But...
Sit down, you chump. Don't you want to hear? Now, to begin with, Bertie, I must once again pay a marked tribute to good old Jeeves, a modern Solomon. Did you know he'd recommended me to win back lost ground by busying myself with good works, visiting the sick and so forth?
He did tell me.
Well, it worked, by Jove. She softened visibly before I'd been at it a week. About a couple of days ago, she distinctly smiled. And yesterday... I say, you remember that curate chap, Wingham? Fellow with a long nose.
Oh, yes, of course I remember, yes. Your rival.
Rival? Oh. Well, yes, I suppose you could have called him that at one time, though it sounds a little far-fetched.
Oh, does it, you complacent chump? Well, let me tell you, the last I heard was that the cow and horses in Twing Village, they were offering 7-1 on the curate and finding no takers.
Betting? You don't mean that they're betting on this holy sick... Oh, I say, dash it all. I mean, haven't people any sense of decency or reverence? Is nothing safe from their beastly, sordid, rough... I say, I wonder if there's any chance of my getting any of that 7-1 money. 7-1? What a price. Who's offering it, do you know? Oh, well, I suppose it wouldn't do, no. No, I suppose it wouldn't be quite the thing.
You seem dash confident, Bingo, if I may say so. I've always thought that Wingham...
Oh, no, I'm not worried about him. I was just going to tell you, Wingham's got the mumps and won't be out and about for weeks. And jolly as that is in itself, it's not all. You see, he was producing the village school Christmas entertainment, and now I've taken over the job. I went to old Heppenstall last night and clinched the contract.
What's so good about that?
Well, don't you see? I shall be absolutely the centre of village life for 3 solid weeks, Bertie, with a terrific triumph to end up with. It's bound to have a powerful effect on Mary's mind. It'll show her that I'm capable of serious effort. Of course, I'm handicapped a bit by not having been in on the thing from the start. Would you credit it that that uninspired donut of a curate wanted to give the public some rotten little 50-year-old fairy play without one semblance of a gag in it? It's too late to alter the thing entirely, of course, but I'm going to write in something tolerably zippy to jazz it up a bit.
You can't write.
Well, when I say write, I mean pinch. I mean, that's why I bopped up to town. I mean, I've just been to see that show at the Palace, full of good stuff. Then tomorrow, I'll try and see the matinee of Cuddle Up at the Palladium, and that should give me more than enough to work on. Of course, with no scenery to speak of and a chorus of practically imbecile kids aged from 9 to 14, it's going to be rather hard to get anything in the nature of a big, spectacular effect. But I think I see my way.
Good-o. Well, if you'll excuse me now, man, I shall toddle off to bed. You're staying the night? Yes, that's what I feared.
Oh, one thing before you go, Bertie. Do you remember how that Orange Girl number goes in the Palace show?
What? No, I don't, Bingo. No. Good night.
My something oranges,
my something oranges.
Bingo!
Oh!
This nuisance must now cease. I'm going to bed.
Right-ho. Good night, old thing. I say, you will come and see the show, won't you?
Good night. Oh, Jeeves, are you still up?
Yes, sir. I regret to say I do not find Mr. Little's attempts at syncopation somniferous, sir.
Quite. I say, Jeeves, has he told you about his plans for entertaining the Twing multitudes?
Yes, sir.
What do you make of the idea?
I confess I'm a little doubtful, sir. I think Mr. Little would have done better to follow my advice and confine himself to good works about the village.
You think the thing will be a frost?
I could not hazard a conjecture, sir. But my experience has been that what pleases the London public is not always so acceptable to the rural mind. The metropolitan touch sometimes proves a trifle too exotic for the provinces.
Quite. I suppose we'll have to go down and see the dash thing.
I think Mr. Little would be offended were you not present, sir.
Yes. Well, good night, Jeeves.
Good night, sir.
Except as a prompter, Bingo wasn't much in evidence in the early part of the performance. The thing at the outset was merely one of those weird dramas you dig out of books entitled 12 Little Plays for Tots, or something like that. The kids drooled on in the usual manner, and the audience were settling down into the sort of torpor customary on these occasions, when the first of Bingo's interpolated bits occurred. A boy, with a face like a turbot and a voice like a slate pencil, edged out in front of the curtain and started to sing that song of George Thingamy's out of Cuddle Up. You know the one I mean? Always Listen to Mother Girls. This somewhat ripish ballad suitable for a children's Christmas entertainment?
No, sir.
Absolutely. Only a perfect sap-headed prune like young Bingo would. The audience are stiffening in their seats like corpses, Jeeves.
Yes, sir. And Miss Burgess, seated over there next to the Reverend Mr. Wingham, sir, would appear to be wearing a somewhat stunned expression.
I don't blame her. You know, Jeeves, with the most charitable feelings towards him, there are times when I can't help feeling that young Bingo ought to be in some sort of home.
Indeed, sir.
Oh, by golly, I've just thought. When this song is done at the Palladium, Jeeves, old George Whatnot gets the audience to join in the refrain. Join in, dash it. You don't think...
We can only hope not, sir.
But that would put the bally lid on it, Jeeves. And then the lights went out. They didn't flicker, they just went out. And when they came on again, 5 minutes later, the old squire, who was by now a brighter purple than ever, was seen to be marching out at the head of his family, fed up to the eyebrows. The Burgess girl was staring vacantly into space, and Wingham, the curate chappie, was gazing at her with something in his expression that seemed to suggest that, although all this was no doubt deplorable, he had spotted the silver lining. Only the tough eggs seemed still to be enjoying themselves. It was jam for the tough eggs. The show eventually got going again. There were great chunks of plays for the Tots dialogue, and then the pianist struck up the introduction to the Orange Girl number from the show at the Palace. I took it that this was to be Bingo's Act One finale. It wasn't long before I realised it was something more. It was the end. Jeeves, when they do this number in town, Jeeves, the girls in the chorus take oranges made out of yellow wool out of their baskets and toss them lightly at the customers. It always tickles them to bits, don't you know?
Yes, sir. Audiences invariably seem to enjoy having objects thrown at them from the stage.
Oh, my golly. But not real oranges, Jeeves.
No, sir. This does appear to be something of a departure from convention.
Good Lord, real oranges, Jeeves. I mean, young Bingo has been... Mildew!
If you would be guided by me, sir, I would suggest you take cover. The gentlemen standing beside us are about to return the fruit to the stage.
Oh, my sainted aunt, Jeeves!
Yes.
The audience out there must be getting it, coming as well as going.
Indeed, sir, the young persons on the stage appear to be making the most of this unforeseen ballistic opportunity.
Jeeves, do you detect the hand of the serpent Steggles behind this?
Yes, sir. I would imagine he substituted real oranges for the woolen simulacra at some moment when Mr. Little's back was turned.
Oh, gosh! Do you think this will do anything for young popularity in the village?
Very little, I regret to say, sir.
I think we ought to go and rescue the poor Zib Jeeves before the audience decide to splash him about in the village pond a bit.
That would be the humane thing to do, sir.
Righto, Jeeves. Let's get you before the angry crowd. Follow me.
Very good.
It couldn't have been more than a week later when Jeeves, after he had brought me my tea, gently steered me away from the sporting page of the Morning Post to direct my attention to an announcement in the engagements and marriages column. The marriage has been arranged and will shortly take place between the Honourable and Reverend Hubert Wingham, third son of the Right Honourable the Earl of Sturridge, and Mary, only daughter of the late Matthew Burgess of Weatherly Court, hence. Well, of course, I expected this, Jeeves.
Yes, sir.
She would never forgive him for what happened that night.
No, sir.
Well, I don't suppose it'll take old Bingo long to get over it. It's about the 111th time this sort of thing has happened to him. You're the man I'm sorry for.
Me, sir?
Well, dash it all, Jeeves. You can't have forgotten what a deuce of a lot of trouble you took to bring the thing off for Bingo. It's too bad that all your work should have been wasted.
Not entirely wasted, sir.
What?
It is true that my efforts to bring about the match between Mr. Little and the young lady were not successful, but I still look back upon the matter with a certain satisfaction.
Oh, because you did your best, you mean?
Not entirely, sir. Though, of course, that thought also gives me pleasure. I was alluding more particularly to the fact that I found the affair financially remunerative.
Financially what do you mean?
When I learned that Mr. Steggles had interested himself in the contest, sir, I went shares with my friend Brookfield and bought the book which had been made on the issue by the landlord of the Cow and Horses. It has proved a highly profitable investment. Your breakfast will be ready almost immediately, sir. Kidneys on toast and mushrooms. I will bring it when you ring.
Thank you, Jeeves.
In that episode of Watto Jeeves, the parts were played as follows. Jeeves, Michael Horden, Bertie, Richard Briers. Bingo Little, Jonathan Cecil, Steggles, Edwin Apps. The Kid and the Girl, Denise Brier. The pianist was John Gould. The Metropolitan Touch was adapted for radio by Chris Miller from the book The Inimitable Jeeves by P.G. Wodehouse. Watto Jeeves was produced by David Hatch.